Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. Today, the presence of the Holy Spirit is going to refresh you. And I'm excited because I'm talking about being anointed with fresh oil, carrying a fresh empowerment from the Holy Spirit. There are times in our lives and in our ministries where we experience this stagnation, but I want you to know that God has available to you right now a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled continually with His presence, with His Holy Spirit, with His power. The anointing is going to come on you in a fresh way, and you're going to see it manifest in your ministry. You're going to see it manifest in your messages. You're going to see it manifest in the miraculous all around you. And I believe that you're going to be able to impart this fresh anointing to others. So I want to talk to you about being anointed with fresh oil. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's look at the scripture first, where it says in Psalm chapter 92, verse 10, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, for those of you wondering, that word unicorn in the original language here simply means a beast with a horn. Some thought that this was possibly a rhinoceros, but the point is that He talks of this horn because the horn represented power and strength and authority. And he goes on to say, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil, with new oil, with fine oil, with pricey oil." There are seasons that we go through in our lives and in our ministries where we feel as though the reservoir of the anointing is dwindling. You may be in that season now, or you may be in a season where everything is running smoothly. Either way, we have to be attentive to maintain this fresh oil. Everything in life tends toward disorder. Everything in this world, everything in this universe, it's called the second law of thermodynamics. Everything tends toward disorder. Everything is going to decay. Everything is going to fall apart eventually. I remember when I first started in ministry, I looked forward to the day that I would come to a place where the ministry would sort of run on autopilot, and all I would have to do is read the word and pray and fellowship with the Lord. But the truth is that the more that the Lord blesses me with, the more He gives me, the more I have to maintain. So while you on the outside looking in may see that we produce content on a regular basis, that our ministry does events on a regular basis, you may know that we have staff and that we have people here in the ministry working to make all things come together. It may look from the outside that everything just sort of runs on its own, that everything is sort of a well-oiled machine. But the truth is that no matter what season I'm in, no matter where we are in ministry, I have to maintain what God has given to me. This is true of anything that has value. This is true of relationships. This is true of business. This is true of ministry. This is true of your walk with the Lord. And this is especially true when it comes to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing must be maintained on our lives. Now, Jesus died to pay the price for the anointing. Jesus died in part to give us the power of the Holy Ghost. It's part of what came from His crucifixion and resurrection and ascension. But while Jesus paid the price to produce the anointing, you and I must pay the price to protect the anointing. We must guard and cherish what has been placed upon our lives. There is nothing worth your fellowship with the Lord. There is nothing worth the anointing on your life. The scripture says, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, this is from the New Living Translation. "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." Now, I'm reading you this verse because I want to digress to make this point. The presence of the Holy Spirit abides with the believer. He does not leave us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, the scripture says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit is the seal of salvation. He is the note of promise. He is the security. He is how we know that we know that we know that we are saved, that we belong to the Lord. He is the eternal protector of that salvation. He has marked you as God's. You don't need to be afraid, wondering if you're truly saved, because when the Holy Spirit comes to abide with you, He comes in as the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. One of the greatest works that the Holy Spirit will do is convince you of your sonship and your identity. He will help you to live and to think according to the new reality that you have been given in Christ. And also in John chapter 14, verse 16, the scripture says, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Now look at that verse. Keep looking at it. Let's read it one more time. And I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. The Holy Spirit is present at salvation and onward. The scripture says that the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord, came powerfully upon David from that day on. The Holy Spirit is present at salvation and onward. He does not leave you. So I'm not talking about maintaining the Holy Spirit in that He would leave you if you didn't. I'm talking about maintaining the anointing on your life. The Holy Spirit within you is a different reality than the Holy Spirit upon you, which I'll show you in a moment. But while we cannot cause the Holy Spirit to leave us if we're truly believers. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit does not leave us. Salvation and the Holy Spirit are one and the same. But when, or they work together. The Holy Spirit is present at salvation, and salvation could not be present without the Holy Spirit. So while we cannot do something in the new covenant to cause the Holy Spirit's presence to leave us, we can do things that suppress the Holy Spirit or stifle the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, a powerful, simple, and short verse. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't quench, don't extinguish, don't snuff out. The Holy Spirit is often paralleled with fire. Some of us, we stifle that fire. The scripture says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There we see the Holy Spirit coming upon us. At salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and at baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon us in a special way. Now, there's a difference between being born of the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit. Born of the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 gives us this very clear distinction. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove His sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. In fact, there were some believers who had been born of the Spirit, who had been born again, yet did not recognize what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. We see it in Acts chapter 19, verse 2, where the scripture says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's presence within us is forever. It's eternal. But the Holy Spirit's presence upon us must be maintained. So the Holy Spirit's presence within us affects the Spirit. It's our identity. It's our salvation. It's our seal. But the Holy Spirit upon us That is what touches our body and our soul, impacting the actions. Now, the spirit man impacts the outer man if we allow it. And it is that interaction, it is that allowing of the Holy Spirit within that causes the Holy Spirit's presence to come upon. It is the surrendering of that inner reality that creates the power that comes in our outer circumstance. It is that inner surrender which creates the outer manifestation of power. Now, I want to read a scripture to you found in Matthew chapter 25, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. This is a powerful illustration that Jesus gives us. It's a parable. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. The scripture says this, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. The five who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, 'Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him.' All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out.' But the others replied, 'We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves.'" Now, this is a powerful portion of scripture, and I only have some time to point out just a few things. But firstly, I want you to note in verse 4 where the scripture says, "But the other five were wise enough to take along extra oil." They had enough oil to carry them through the journey. They had enough oil to carry them through to their purpose. My question for you is, do you have enough oil to take you through? Now, I understand, as we just went over, that the presence of the Holy Spirit is complete, eternal and internal. He's with you. He abides. He does not leave you. But what I'm talking about is an oil for ministry. What I'm talking about is an oil for power. What I'm talking about is an oil where you allow that interreality, that inner reality, to affect the outer man, the outer world, and those who are around you. Do you have enough oil to take you through? In the scripture, we find in Exodus chapter 16, verse 11 through 20, we find that God gave to the children of Israel fresh manna every single day, and they were prohibited from storing it and saving it until the next morning. In fact, the scripture says in Exodus chapter 16, let's go to verse 19 where Moses is talking. The scripture says, "Then Moses told them, 'Do not keep any of it until morning.'" Verse 20 says, "But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. Moses was very angry with them." Now, why was it that God told them, "When I send you the fresh manna, you have to just eat what's your portion. Just take what's for your family. Do not store anything"? Well, number one, I believe it's because God wanted them to have faith for the next day. And number two, manna represents the word. Manna represents Christ. Manna represents the sustenance of the Spirit. The point being, yesterday's revelation cannot sustain you for today's season. I'm not saying that what we've come to learn of the Lord will not help us, will not bring us into breakthrough, will not still impact our lives. In fact, there are things that I remember that the Lord has revealed to me that still to this day are sustaining me through certain things. But what I'm saying is that you cannot rely on old devotion to carry you through this season of ministry, through this season of life, through this season of your spiritual journey. Yesterday's anointing cannot break today's yokes. Yesterday's anointing cannot break today's power. There has to be a freshness to it. There has to be a constant moment by moment maintenance of this. Now, I'm not talking about living in fear and paranoia and constantly wondering if your oil is drying up. I'm simply saying that we must live in the state of the pursuit of God. We must live connected to the source. We must live in the place where we are saying, "Lord, I'm yours. I surrender daily." We must be like Moses, who said, "Lord, you can send us wherever you want, so long as your presence goes with us." Moses told the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going anywhere. unless your presence comes with me. We must maintain it. So going down now to Matthew chapter 25, go down now to verse number 8, where the scripture says, "Then the five foolish ones asked the others, 'Please give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out.'" You cannot rely on another person's anointing to sustain your own ministry. You cannot rely on another person's anointing to sustain the call of God on your life. The gifts that God has given you, the call that He has placed upon your life, require that you seek the Lord to receive an anointing for yourself. I can't lay hands on you and cause you to fulfill your call. I can lay hands on you for the healing of the sick. I can pray impartation over you, but unless you tap into it for yourself, that anointing lays dormant, it lays stagnant, and it is not fresh. You cannot rely on another person's anointing to impact lives through your ministry. I've seen preachers, let me tell you something, if you're a preacher of the gospel, you're a minister, and you're wondering why it's so hard for you to get sermons, it's because you're running on old oil. If you have to go online and download your sermons, if you have to listen to other people's messages and copy exactly what they're saying, you need fresh oil. Go and try to preach another man's message, another man's sermon. It won't work out well. It won't be as anointed. Well, you say, but that wasn't theirs. God gave it to them. Yes, God gave it to them. And I'm not saying we all don't share in the timeless truths that the scripture gives to us. I'm not saying that we all don't preach from the same word. I'm not saying that we can't preach on the same topics. I simply am saying that you must get into the word for yourself. You must get into prayer for yourself. It's amazing to me because we say these sort of things all the time. I say these sort of things all the time, and people will receive it mentally, but then they go and live as if they don't believe it. I'm telling you, you cannot do this without a prayer life. You cannot do this without devotion to God's word. You need fresh oil daily. You need Him to pour out His Spirit upon you daily. The scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. That word filled in the original language is speaking of a continual state of being. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit is both an experience, an encounter, a one-time event, and a state of being. It is both an experience and a state of being. We must be filled fresh. We must be filled daily. We must allow Him to pour out that fresh oil upon our lives. I hunger for it. I know you do too. I'm tired of being so confused about where to go next. I used to do that. There was a season in my ministry where I was trying to run on my experiences with the Lord that I had years prior, and I ran out. I was running on empty. I would speak, but there was no power on what I was saying. I would teach, but there was no revelation behind what I was teaching. And we need to come to the place where we're receiving fresh from the Lord. Every single day, be filled continually, be filled. We cannot do it without a prayer life. Listen, you can't do it without a prayer life. You can't do it without a devotion to God's word. You can't do it. You know you are trying to do things on your own when you don't have a consistent prayer life. Your spiritual growth will only be as consistent as your prayer life. Your ministry effectiveness will only be as consistent as your prayer life. Your ability to minister God's word will only be consistent as your devotion to it. You have to tap into the fresh oil for yourself. You need to say, Lord, I'm done with compromise. I'm done with not giving my best. I'm done with laziness and apathy. I want fresh oil. And then you need to pursue God. Live in a state of desperation. Live in a state of hunger. Live in a state for thirst for that presence. Now, you know you need fresh oil when your faith begins to dwindle. Where you used to believe some things in a big way, now, as the oil dwindles, your faith begins to shrink. Doubt begins to arise. Fear takes the place of faith. You begin to isolate. Your witness to others begins to fade. You begin to lose a passion for the things of God. Your ministry becomes, instead of a calling, a career. instead of doing things by the Spirit, you do things by a system. And when you minister, there's something lacking in the words. There's no weight of the anointing behind what you say. Now listen, I've been in seasons like this. I'm not saying this to make you feel guilty. That's not my goal. I'm saying this to cause you to hunger for the greater. I'm saying this to inspire you to say that you can tap into this fresh oil. You can receive afresh from this. The anointing begins to fade. We begin to lose those areas of our lives where we once held so passionately with the Lord. And then before we know it, old habits begin to come back in. The sinful nature begins to take control. The things that you thought were buried begin to resurface. What happens then? Well, in those seasons, we need to pursue that fresh oil. We need to get a hold of God again. We need to say, Lord, I don't want to play games anymore. I want to get a hold of you. And that's where you are. If that's where you are, then pursue the fresh oil. Perhaps you're not there. Perhaps you're doing good. Well, good. Don't grow weary in doing good. This message is for both people. This is for those who are needing fresh oil and those who have fresh oil. Maintain it, keep it, cherish it. And if you've lost it, regain it. Now, the anointing does several things. But first of all, we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But look what the verse says. It says, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. The anointing makes you a witness. Exodus chapter 35, verse 14 says, the lampstand also for the light, and its utensils, and its lamps, and the oil for the light. Do you realize that it was the oil that kept the light burning in the lamps? And it is the oil that will keep your witness alive? It is the oil, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that will set your heart ablaze with a passionate, undying love for Jesus. There's no one on earth who loves Jesus more than the Holy Spirit. And if you will allow him, he will cultivate that love to greater measures within your heart. The scripture also tells us that the anointing makes us shine. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16 say, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Because we are stewards of the mysteries of heaven, we should be the most interesting people to talk to. But I think that more often than not, we are guilty of just talking about dull dribble. Dull, everyday, earthly things. And I'm not saying that you can't connect with people in practical ways. I'm simply saying that it needs to shine forth from your life, the anointing. There needs to be something different about you. And the third thing the anointing will do is it'll bring joy. Psalm chapter 45, verse 7 says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. The anointing brings that joy. Perhaps you're in that place where you do have fresh oil and things are going well. My encouragement to you is heed this warning. Don't lose that. Take this and receive joy in knowing that you're in a good place, but maintain it. We can so easily be distracted. And before we know it, we look back and we've gone off track. The Holy Spirit's merciful to us. And maybe you're watching, you're a minister, you're a believer, and you need fresh oil. You're saying, Lord, I'm running on empty. It's so dry. When I speak your word, there's nothing coming from it. And I need to get back to that place. I need to reconnect with the source. I want to pray with you now. Let's pray that the Lord would connect you again and that he would pour out fresh oil upon you. Are you ready? I mean it. Let's pray. And I want you to really believe that God is going to do something for you right now. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or even imagine. He's with you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one right now, desiring, if fresh touch, your fresh oil. And Lord, I pray you would anoint us. Anoint that one with fresh oil. Let the power of the Holy Spirit come upon them in a fresh way. Use us for your glory, we pray. Let our lives be reflections of who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.